Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. Romans 5, 12 through 21. Hear God's holy word. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abound for many. And the free gift is not like the result of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now, the law came in to increase the trespass. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This has been the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for these precious words that just keep moving things away so that we would see Jesus alone, that we would see grace alone, that we would see faith alone, and that we would be free to joyfully live a life in Christ Jesus. Oh God, would you open up these words like a flower blooming in the spring? Would the fragrance of them give us joy? Father, would we be free from the works of the law? Would we be free from the condemnation in Adam that we might enjoy Jesus Christ? Father, protect us from the evil one who would lie to us about what grace is, how powerful Jesus is. And would you protect us from our own selves, our own temptation, lead us out of being tempted. Oh God, help us this morning. Thank you for this word. Thank you for these people. And would you bring it together for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got to check. I think I forgot something. All right. I just want to recap last week just a little bit, right? We learned what we got in Adam. What Adam did in the garden was he sinned, right? He had that clear command, and then he sinned against it. And then he was judged by God. He was condemned by God. And then the condemnation was carried out in that he died. So he sinned, he was judged, he was condemned, and he died. And then we learned from Romans chapter 5 that in Adam, all of us sinned. All of us were judged, all of us were condemned, and all of us died. That the root of that was because death reigned and killed everybody. Even those who sinned wasn't that someone that heard a command and broke that command, but they all died. Death reigned from the earliest of miscarriages to the oldest of person, which was over 900 years old. Death swallowed them all up. Because of what happened in Adam. And I told you last week why this was so important. Because what we're seeing is Paul comparing to who we all are as humans in Christ, who we all are as humans in Adam to who Christians are in Jesus Christ. So you have to understand the one to see clearly the parable of the other. So today I want to talk about Christ and Adam, and then I want to talk about Christ and Moses, and then I want to talk about Christ and Christians, and then lastly, I want to talk about Christ in you. So the first one, Christ and Adam. I want to go through these verses, and since we talked about Adam last week, I want you to see the comparison between everything that happened to all humans in Adam and what happens to those that are in Christ. You'll notice these same words keep coming up. I want you to pay attention, kids, to the word free gift, to the word trespass, as it keeps going back and forth. We're comparing Adam's trespass and the free gift in Jesus, right? This free gift goes all the way back. If you look at Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 4, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Okay? So this is the gift He's already told us. It's grace and redemption freely through faith. That's what the gift is. Grace through faith in Jesus as the redemption. Okay? I might have to get a drink a few times this morning. Please don't let it distract you. But since I asked, I probably shouldn't have said anything. That's distracting. Okay, now we're on the same page with that. Look at verse 15. The free gift is not like the trespass. So we're looking at the trespass of Adam and the free gift in Jesus Christ. He says they're not alike. Okay? So yes, you're either in Adam or you're in Christ, but he says these are different. And we're going to look at the bad in Adam and the good in Jesus Christ. He says they're not like each other, right? Four, in the same verse here, verse 15, many died through Adam's trespass. All these deaths that I keep talking about, all because of Adam's trespass, right? Through one man's trespass. But much more have the grace of God and that free gift over here by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. So the way that death got everybody in Adam, he says this grace is going to abound so much more. This free gift over here, this free gift of grace over here is going to abound more so. It's going to be more powerful than death was in Adam. I want you to remember that, that this grace in Christ is more powerful than death in Adam. Not only that, look at verse 16. And the free gift is not like the result of one man's sin. So this gift of Jesus Christ's redemption isn't like what happened in Adam. Again, he's just saying it multiple ways over and over. Four, here's how the free gift is not like Adam's sin. The judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. That's what happened in Adam. For everybody, right? That's what we covered last week. Judged and condemned in Adam. How is Jesus different? By God's grace, it's not judgment and condemnation. What is it? The free gift following many trespasses. That's yours, that's mine, that's all those who will be covered by the blood of Jesus. All those trespasses covered by one man compared to one trespass dooming all men. These are not the same. This free gift follows covering many sins where one sin brought condemnation. Why? Look at verse 17. For if, because of one man's trespass, Adam, death reigned through that one man. If death goes to every single person, reigns like a ruler, like a king, that nobody escapes, right? This reigning, if death reigns through this one man, Adam, much more. Remember, now he's comparing. Much more will those who receive this abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So you got death reigning in Adam. You got life reigning in Jesus Christ through him. This is only in one place. So again, I want you to see this comparison. You're either in Adam with the judgment, the condemnation, and the death, or you're in Christ with this abundance of grace covering a multitude of sins and giving life, life eternal, rather than death. How? It's the free gift of righteousness. Remember, now this is the conclusion. Paul is bringing all of this down into a conclusion because chapter 6 and 7 is all going to be explanations about this radical statement we're going to cover today. All of chapter 6 is about our relationship to sin as Christians, and all of chapter 7 is about our relationship to Moses' law as Christians. And the reason he has to spend two chapters talking about it, because of the radical statement we're going to see today. This gift of righteousness is what we've covered as justification. If you remember, that's the same root word. Being just and being righteous is the same thing. Justification is being made righteous. So we have this righteousness imputed to us, given to us. We are declared righteous in the eyes of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't just tolerate us as Christians. He makes us righteous. And so, the second part of verse 17 there says, for those that receive the abundance of the grace, this free gift of righteousness, actually being made righteous, it's going to reign in life. Now, I want you to think about the way death reigned. What has happened to everybody since Adam? Remember? Death. So it's this complete reign. Nobody gets away from it. It's complete. Now, I want you to remember, he's comparing grace to that reign. He says righteousness will reign in life. So who escaped death? Nobody, except Christ. He's the one we're hidden in. So who's going to escape? If you're in Christ, who's going to escape this righteousness? It's going to reign in us, folks. Righteousness will reign in life through this Jesus of ours. So he comes to this conclusion. Therefore, in verse 18, as one trespass, Adam's sin, led to condemnation for all men. That's what we talked about last week. Everybody condemned in Adam. As one trespass led to condemnation, so one act of righteousness, that's Jesus Christ dying for the sins of his people, being declared righteous through justification, it leads to justification and life for all men. Now remember, just a small side note with his use of the word many and all, and you're like, well, is there a difference? No, it's just Paul's way of just keeping going back and forth between in Adam, all, in Christ, all, in Adam, many, in Christ, many. But Adam's trespass condemned, Jesus's one act of righteousness leads to us being justified and given life. Folks, Jesus is better than Adam. I don't know if you've figured that out yet. Being a Christian is better than being human. Now, the warped sense of that is you go to so many places around the world and it won't look that way. You go to the Middle East, you go to most of Africa, you go to most of India, you go to most of China. I mean, these are the big chunks of the world, and to be a Christian looks like being subhuman. You get treated worse. But I'm telling you, the Word of God says that being in Christ is better than being in Adam. And lastly, in verse 19, as one man's disobedient, the many were made sinners. Remember, these are all the words we covered last week. Sin, judgment, condemnation, death. So by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Adam ruined everybody in him. Jesus Christ saves everybody through him. But not just saves, radically changes everybody in him. Declares them righteous, and then makes them righteous. And as Christians, we're in between those two. We've been declared righteous, and we are being sanctified, being made righteous every day. And we're going to talk about that here in the months to come. Sanctification. So one man, Adam, sin, judgment, condemnation, death, all humans. One man, Jesus Christ, free gift, justification, righteousness, and life for all in him. Now remember, Paul's already covered in chapter 4 and part of chapter 5 that it's by faith. You're only in Jesus Christ by faith. We're all born in Adam. We're all in Christ by faith for those that are in Christ by faith. So Christ is infinitely better than Adam. So that's Christ and Adam. We see these comparisons. Now I want to look at Christ and Moses. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. Now the law came in to increase the trespass. The law, that's the law of Moses, it came in to increase the trespass. And remember, he's already said that before this law showed up, everybody was sinning. We know that because everybody was dying. Even those that sinned in Adam died before they had a chance to sin outside of Adam. But all those outside of Adam that were born and raised, they all sin. If you ever want, I know this is troubling to think about, a little side note here, I guess. I know it's troubling to think about our children and our little ones in this age. When are they accountable to God? And as I said last week, we just have to trust God with this. We have to take comfort in who He is. But you have to understand and realize that there's a problem for everybody in Adam's family. And that if they were innocent, how come nobody stays innocent? I just want you to dwell, when you have problems with this, think about the apple tree. If there's an apple growing on it, you trace that all the way back to one seed that went in the ground. It's never changed what it was. It's never changed what it was. It just becomes fully what it is. So, the law came in, Moses' law came in to increase the trespass. What does that mean? Well, first off, John tells us that the law was given through Moses, but grace and life came through Jesus. That's just another place where the same thing is said in a little bit different way. But what you have is you have humanity. You have a human heart born in Adam and all this sin. God brings His holy law into the midst of it. And I don't think there's a better example or illustration than what John Bunyan gives in the Pilgrim's Progress. He gets to the interpreter's house in this walk. And he sees it. He looks inside of this room. And this room is just filthy. Right? It's just dirt everywhere. Like sun shining in the window and dirt everywhere. And a maid comes in with a broom and just starts sloshing back and forth. Starts brooming, starts trying to sweep up the dirt. And all of a sudden, the dust just gets more and more because all she's doing with that broom is just stirring up the dust. It's not going anywhere. It's just moving around, becoming more visible, becoming stronger. That's what the law of God did. Humanity was here. We had all of our problems. People were stealing from one another. People were murdering one another. We have all these problems. People had a desire to steal and murder. And then all of a sudden, God shows up and He gives the Ten Commandments as part of the law. Thou shalt not steal. And all it does is like that sunlight in the window expose what's already there. And not only that, but then somebody reads, steal, what's that, Mom? Well, that's when you take somebody or somebody's stuff that's not yours. And all of a sudden, little Johnny starts looking around, well, what do they have over there? That's what the law does to us. It's like fertilizer on that apple seed. It just speeds up. Let's look at what this actually is. It's sin, and it's going to grow further and stronger. And the law of God shows up and increases the trespass, and that everywhere you read in it, you just keep finding more things you've broken. Just imagine being in a foreign country, being in a place that's never heard God's law, and you're breaking all of them, and somebody says, oh, God spoke from heaven thousands of years ago. This is what He said. Don't murder. Ooh. Well, that's what we do around here. Don't take somebody else's wife. Oh, that's where I got her from him. Don't steal. Well, this is my stuff now because I was stronger and got it in the middle of the night. You're telling me all this is wrong? Yes. That's what God is saying. The law just come to shine the light in, to show how disgusting sin is. He gives everyone in the world through his law that hears it an opportunity to do righteousness. And what do they do with it? They sin. That's what they do with it. They sin. It gets worse, not in better. The law comes in and increases sin. I think that's just such a depressing thing, to be honest with you. That you can have such good intentions, but you put the Ten Commandments in somebody's lap that's not born again, and you're going to make them absolutely miserable. You're going to make them miserable. They're going to hate themselves. Or they'll get prideful and be blind to how sinful they are, which is miserable. But that's not all of the verse. Look at verse 20. Now, summing up all this, the law comes in to increase the trespass. Moses shows up to show you you're worse than you can possibly imagine. But where this sin increases, grace abounds all the more. Grace actually does more than the law can do. John Bunyan uses this example. After the first maid comes in and just makes it filthy, the next maid comes in with water. With water. Now they sprinkle water and clean, but I want you to picture someone coming. If you have this filthy room with all this nastiness, you're not going to clean it with a broom. You're going to stir it up with a broom. But if you go in with a bucket and a rag and you get down on your hands and knees and you start wiping it away, and you got a dirty bucket, and you wring out your rag in the dirty bucket, and you get it again in the clean bucket, and you wipe, you will get that room clean. And John Bunyan says that's the difference between the gospel of grace actually getting rid of the mess and the law of God that just stirs it up and shows you that it's there. What the law could not do in that it's weak through the flesh, we can't keep it, God does through His gospel. Gospel grace abounds. That wet rag can get in the crevices and the crooks that broom couldn't do. Just move it around. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of grace, of earned favor, of actually declaring you righteous, abounds. It abounds all the more, he says in this verse. All the more, just grace abounding. Wherever you, the picture is, you got this filthy room. Just think of your heart as that filthy room. And wherever the dust is found, grace can get there and clean it up. That's what he's talking about. Where, no matter how big the room is, maybe you've been sinning for 80 years. Maybe it's a rough floor. What he's saying is no matter where you find the sin in this heart, grace, unearned favor through faith, believing and trusting in Jesus Christ as the redemption, that's the payment for your sins, will get rid of it. No matter where you find it in there. Oh, folks, this is good news. This is good news to you 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 year olds that are just now realizing, oh, I'm a sinner and I have a dirty heart. But for you 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, this is good news. As the dust piles upon dust. And your modest sins are thick enough to cover up the not so modest sins. And it's deep in there. And it's smelly. And it's dirty. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of His resurrection, can get into any sinful place and wipe it completely clean. What he's saying is where sin increases, grace goes even further. That's a radical statement. What he's saying is there is no sin that's going to outgo grace. So all humans in Adam are condemned and death is reigning over them. In Jesus Christ, you get clean. Grace abounds. You get washed whiter than snow. How clean? Let's keep reading. The next point, Christ and Christians. Christ and Christians. So let me read these two verses together. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Grace goes further than sin. Verse 21, so that. Why does grace go further? Here's why. How clean do you get? Here's how clean. As sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's just look at the first part of it. This comparison, as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign. I want you to think about how death reigns. Who has escaped it? Yes, I know there's Enoch in the Bible. There's Elijah in the Bible. Yes, Jesus is the one we will escape it through. But look at what he's saying here. As sin reigned in death, meaning it got everybody. Everybody. Everything. Complete reign. Complete and utter reigning. If sin does that through death, he says, compare grace to that. The reign of grace in the Christian's life is as complete as death's reign in sinners. Meaning everywhere. You're not going to a continent. You're not going to find a tribe that's 1,000 years old. You're not going to a planet somewhere where they're 1,000,000 years old. Everybody's died because everybody has sinned in Adam. And he said, just like everybody dies because everybody sinned in Adam and death is reigning and swallowing up absolutely everyone, grace will reign in the life of a Christian and swallow up all of your sin. All of it. You compare it to the complete control of death. Now it's the complete control of grace in your life. Unearned favor, a free gift. He's saying you are forgiven of absolutely every single sin you've ever committed in your life. And you will be forgiven of absolutely every single sin you will ever commit in your life. Grace is reigning through the Lord Jesus Christ. How powerful is this grace? It goes everywhere. How? Through righteousness. Now, some people would say through making us righteous, and I agree that he is making us righteous. That's not what this means. He means through declaring us actually righteous. I know that because chapter 6 says, starts with, are you saying that we should just keep sinning and it doesn't matter what we do? I'm telling you, these verses are so radical, after you read them, after you understand them, if you haven't ever read chapter 6, you should be thinking, oh my lands, he's saying a person could just sin. Because that's where he goes next. That's how I know he's talking about how radical grace is. That he actually declares you righteous, and that leads to living forever, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this death, Adam ends in death, grace ends in eternal life through Jesus Christ. Through declaring us righteous. And as we're going to learn, through making us righteous in him. He changes us. God declares in justification that we are righteous. I don't know why we're so foolish. The Bible's clear. Why we're so foolish to categorize our sin so much. I know part of it is our pride in the way we compare ourselves to each other. But part of it's just not wanting to own that all my sin is really bad. But what he's saying here, every single sin is washed away by the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, dear saint, If anyone in here is still clinging to the condemnation and the guilt of something you've done, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm promising you this because the Word of God does, you are forgiven. For all who come to me, he says, I will not cast out. I will not turn them away, and I will take them to where I'm going. That's an all-inclusive promise. You are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Every single sin in the future, as you're worried and fearful about what you might do next, he's saying grace reigns. I picture sometimes like an umbrella, right? And this umbrella is keeping me dry, and it's this big old umbrella. It's just grace. Everywhere I go, that umbrella is keeping me dry. And that rain is just the wrath of God. That umbrella is the grace of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter. This is the radical statement. My sins under that umbrella, we're going to learn about in chapter 6 and 7. But Romans 5 saying they are forgiven. That grace is reigning under that umbrella. Not R-A-I-N. But reigning like a king. Dear saint, I want you to get in your heart that you are forgiven through the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, dump truck loads of dirt washed away. I want you to picture where does every river in this world go? Every river in the world's headed to the ocean, isn't it? And the ocean's never getting full, is it? Every raindrop falls out in the ocean, ends up in the ocean, and it just keeps taking it and taking it and taking it. That's the grace of God. There's nothing we're going to do. Wherever our sin increases, His grace will abound more. I hope you're getting uncomfortable. Like, is He saying I can sin? That should be your question. The answer to that's no. We'll cover that in chapter 6. But here's what most people do when they get to Romans chapter 5. They jump to 6 and they get so many qualifications on how, well, if you're united in Christ, you won't do this and that, and the law does this and that, that you don't let the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ and His grace reign where Paul put it here. Those chapters are there to support these two verses, not make excuses. Because grace is really that glorious, washed away like a flood, gone. When he says their sins are gone as far as the east is from the west, that's what he's talking about. Because if we bring grace down to something different, what we're doing is diminishing the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because what he's saying here is the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to get in every nook and cranny of a saint and forgive the absolute most horrendous sins. And if we try to bring it down, we start diminishing His glory. Here's a silly illustration that got in my head. We had a birthday party for my grandbaby Tommy this week. I put a cake, piece of cake in front of him. We sat in there and he looked at it. You could tell he didn't know what to do with it, so he sticks his finger in part of it, so he does this, right? And he does what they do with everything. Just think, they would do that with battery acid. But they look at it, and so puts it in his mouth, and you just, and he just starts eating it, right? And he starts eating. I'm like, oh, my lands, this boy's got my genes. This cake, it's you know how those first birthdays are just so beautiful. I mean, they're just cake. He's got this. Now they make these bibs that catch stuff. So he's getting it, second shot at it, and he's just eating it. And then his eyes start getting heavy. You know, he's like, oh. And he just keeps going. And you know what he did? He left cake on his plate. He quit. You could just see him. You're like, oh, man, do it. That's how some of you are going to be on Thursday. I can't no more. He reached his limit. The Lord Jesus Christ
has never gotten tired of forgiving sin. He's never said, I can't no more. He's never said, I'm too full. He says, I want to celebrate because this son of mine who was dead is alive. I want to celebrate because this sheep that was lost is found. The heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is full of forgiveness. That's what he desires. He wants it. Come to, if you find yourself in sin today, tonight, tomorrow, next week, any day, the first thing you should do is not, oh no, God's mad. It's God wants me back now. The price has been paid. There's no, well, I gotta get ready. There's a long walk back. The price has been paid, and he constantly says, come home with a smile on his face. You only grieve God when you go further. You only grieve him when you go further. Hebrews 7:25 says, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Christ Jesus has already conquered death. He's at the right hand of God, interceding for you right now because of your sins you've committed in the last 15 minutes. And you know what he's going to do for all of eternity? Intercede for you in every sin you will ever commit. He's there. He is there. You have nothing to fear tomorrow. Whatever besetting sin got you down this week, it doesn't have to next week. Christ reigns. Christ reigns, which gets me to the last point, Christ and you. I want you to take a trip through your own heart this morning. I want you to see that mess. Oh, it's a mess. Praise God, there's no windows on it, right? Nobody can look, come by and peek in and see what my life has really been like. And I see this heart in Adam just full of sin. And I'm smart enough to see that it's judgment and condemnation and death because of this sin. And it's hopeless in Adam. There is no hope if something doesn't come into that heart. So as you're in there, I want you to invite Moses in for a little bit. This is where a lot of you saints want to live. You got a broom in your heart, and you see all the lust and the greed and the gossip and the anger, and you're like, just give me a little bit of more willpower. Give me a broom, and I'll get this into the corner. And you can't figure out why your allergies are always acting up. You don't know why you're allergic to it. You just keep stirring, sitting around thinking, I will get this. I don't need God. I can figure this out. I'm telling you, dear saint, you in that heart with nothing but a broom will make you miserable. Every week you'll come to the church, and every week during confession time, you'll be saying the same thing you said last week. I'm sorry, and I'll do better. I'm sorry, and I'll do better. Until you break. Until the dust gets so thick you just suffocate, and you're like, I can't even be a Christian. It's because you're not trying to be a Christian. You're trying to be Moses. And Moses will only increase this prideful sweeping. You're just constantly letting yourself down. I'm telling you, it's time to move on into maturity and realize this heart will not get clean with your hands. There's no resolutions on coming January 1st. It's going to get that heart clean. That's why you have to have Christ in there. Take a trip into your heart. Invite him. Take him to every corner of your heart. If it comes to your mind what you did when you was 3 or what you did 5 minutes ago, bring Christ there and say, please, by the grace of God, wash, wash, wash it out. Don't hold anything back. Don't be such a fool that you think you can somehow clean half of your heart that shows up on Sunday and you get to live in the filth and the dirt the other days of the week. That doesn't work at home, does it? You stir up dust in the living room, guess what your kitchen's going to get? It's going to get dusty. The dust will always overcome.
You got to get it gone. Invite Jesus Christ into your past. Invite him into your future and all these anxieties of what you might sin next. And trust that his grace is sufficient. That he'll wipe it all away. Your hope for tomorrow is not in you. Your hope is that this word is true in these verses. These verses that say, grace abounded, in verse 20, grace abounded all the more. That's what I want you to tell yourself next time you sin. Grace abounds more. Grace abounds more. And then I want you to look at the next verse and see that grace reigns. Not only does grace abound and grow and outpace your sin, grace will reign and not give up that ground. Grace really is greater than all of our sin. It really is amazing. It really is amazing grace. And it leads to eternal life. And this Jesus that takes up an abode inside of us. Would you please quit seeing a begrudging, angry man mopping up your messes and see a smiling servant washing your feet saying, come, follow me. He's not surprised by your sin. He's only hurt when you won't follow him. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the promise that grace reigns. For the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ is more powerful than all sin. I thank you, Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ is more powerful than all sin. Father, just in my own weakness, I'm so tempted to put all these qualifications, even now in this prayer, say, well, I know we that doesn't mean we can sin, Father. Let us just rest in this promise that Christ cleans us completely and enjoy you. Father, let us see your smile, that you delight in steadfast love, that you say, rejoice with me. Oh, Father, thank you for grace. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.